In the context of the liturgical year, we have just finished the strong seasons. First, the 40 days of Lent, which led us into the celebration of the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, his passion, death, and resurrection. Then we had the 50 days of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. And now, immediately following the Easter season and the celebration of Pentecost, we have three great solemnities that are of a synthetic character. And those are the celebration of the Most Holy Trinity, who we celebrated last week, reminding that they are the author of life and the work of salvation in our life. Then today we are celebrating the solemnity of Corpus Christi, which of course marks that Jesus is truly our food. He is the one that we are in communion with to give us the spiritual nourishment and strength to lead us to eternal life. And finally, the third of these synthetic celebrations will be this Friday in celebrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus. A reminder again that all of these mysteries in our life are an act of pure love and mercy of God toward us. So today we are celebrating the great solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Traditionally, the solemnity of Corpus Christi is really marked out by three principal acts of worship. The first being the gathering around the altar of the Lord to celebrate Mass. The second being to go out in procession. It used to be, and still is today in Rome, that they would have a Eucharistic procession from the Basilica of St. John Lateran along the Via Marulana to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, with the monstrance holding the Sacred Host, leading the crowds toward the Basilica, which then would mark the third stage of the celebration, which would be adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So in today's homily, I would like to address those three different facets of this feast: to gather in the presence of the Lord, to process in the midst and with the Lord, and finally to adore the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first place, we are today gathered around the table of the Lord. Of course, it is a rather unique celebration for those of you who are joining us online from a distance, but it truly marks the special character of our Eucharistic celebration that we gather, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading, as one body, as one people around the table of the Lord to come to be in communion with the one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thereby also to be in communion with one another. Because there at the table, we gather without distinction. We gather as equals, uniting ourselves to the one Lord, and therefore also being united with one another. When we talk about the presence of the Lord at the sacred altar and at the Holy Mass, we can ask ourselves the question, what does it really mean to speak of the presence of Jesus in our life, or the presence of someone else in our life? And what is it that is so fundamentally unique and special about being in the presence of the Eucharistic Lord? I think an easy analogy to make is to consider the presence of a loved one in our own life. For example, if we were to consider perhaps today is Father's Day, so let us consider our father. If I were to say, how is it possible for my father to be present in my life? Well, in the first way, we could say, in a simplistic form, if I am thinking about my father at this moment, in some way it is a manner that he is being present to me. Second way we could say would be if I were to communicate with him through writing, maybe through email or through a letter, it is a way of exchanging thoughts, and a written communication is also a form of the one being present to the other. The third way would be by means of telephone or FaceTime video conferencing, where now you are moving up to a greater form of presence, whereby through the means of modern communication we can even see one another through the video conference and can have an immediate exchange of ideas. And this too is an even greater form of presence. But the highest and the best form of presence would always be to be able to be physically present, substantially present in the same room. And that really is the greatest form of presence which is there. So we can kind of see they're all a form of presence, but it's really escalating from one level to the next, whereby one isn't really satisfied, or one would always say the perfection of being present to the other is actually being in the same place, in the same room. I suppose an easy way to prove that would be if a man is dating a woman and she says, "Oh, would you like to get together for dinner tonight?" And if he says, "Well, you know what, I'm content to just think about you for 30 seconds or so, and that is going to satisfy my desire to be in your presence or to be with you," instead of being able to actually be physically present to one another, very likely she would be very smart to say, "He's not really that interested in me." And you know, in our relationship with God and the different ways that God is present in our life, we can really see a similar thing. In the first place, God is omnipresent. He created everything in creation, and therefore, because He is the cause of every effect which exists in this world, of everything that He has created, in some way He is present in them. Then secondly, we are reminded that here at the Mass, when we proclaim the Word of God, that is God's communication to us in a written form, which too, when we hear the Word of God, is a form of His presence. Further, at Mass, we know where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, there is He in the midst. And we also know that in the person of the priest, He stands there in the person of Christ. That is who He represents. Those two are forms of the presence of Jesus among us. But today's feast marks out, and today's Gospel recalls, that there is no presence like Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament. We heard in today's Gospel, His flesh is true food. He is the living bread that comes down from heaven. And as we recalled in the first reading that Moses, through his prayer, got them manna in the desert, now Jesus is the living bread who comes from heaven to be our spiritual food. And so to be able to come to Mass, it really is this gift to be in the most substantial form of presence of God in our life and to truly be in communion with Him. So this is the significance and the celebration today of the Mass of gathering in the presence of the Lord. The second great mark of the solemnity of Corpus Christi is to be able to go in procession. And here we're reminded, perhaps in our context today, we're not able to go through the streets in a Eucharistic procession following the monstrance around, but we are reminded that at every Mass, we are never called to leave alone. And that is because in receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, His presence goes from being something outside of us to something in our hearts, something within us. And therefore, when we leave the church, we do not leave the church alone, but rather we are bringing the one Lord Jesus with us out into the world with those who we meet. See, going in procession with the Lord really means we are walking with the Lord through life, that our life is a pilgrimage or a journey of faith, whereby Jesus is the way who is leading us in procession to our eternal destiny, and whereby we are walking with Him, that He is our support, He is our encouragement, He is our comfort, and He is our sure guide to show us the path to eternal life. And every time we leave Mass, we are called to be, in a sense, energized in our communion with the Lord to share Him with others. A beautiful example of this was Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a saint who lived in the first quarter of the 20th century in Turin. He was from a very prominent and prestigious family. His father was actually the owner of the newspaper La Stampa, which continues to exist in Italy until this day. And Pier Giorgio Frassati, although he died at a very young age of only 24, he was so filled with the love of Jesus, and in particular, when he would come out of Mass, he would go to daily Mass, and he would say, "After I receive the goodness of the Lord in the Eucharist, how is it possible for me not to share that goodness with others?" And so Pier Giorgio Frassati would go out into the streets of Turin, and he would help to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, and to try and give shelter to the homeless and also medicine to those who were sick. In fact, he made such an impact on the community in Turin that his family had no idea that he had been doing all of these things And when it came time for his funeral, the streets of Turin were lined with all sorts of people who had gotten to know Pier Giorgio over the course of his lifetime. His family were amazed at all the friends that he had made and all the people who knew of his kindness and of his good deeds. And on the other side, the people of Turin, especially the poor and the needy, they were amazed to think that this man had come from such a privileged and prominent family, and yet his one desire was to be with them and assisting them. And he really is a beautiful example of the notion that we gather around the one Lord Jesus without distinction as one people, and in receiving the Lord, we cannot help but go out to share his goodness and his love with those who we meet. This is really the goal of the Eucharistic celebration, that it is a personal support and sustenance, but it has an outward and a missionary focus to go out and assist others. And this leads me to the third phase of the celebration of the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, which is adoration. That because Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, the Church and in the presence of Jesus is the place where we prostrate ourselves on bended knee to adore the living God. In preparing for today's homily, I found a lengthy but I thought very beautiful quote from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI on adoration that I would like to share with you at this time. Adoring the God of Jesus Christ, who out of love made himself bread broken, is the most effective and radical remedy against the idolatry of the past and of the present. Kneeling before the Eucharist is a profession of freedom. Those who bow to Jesus cannot and must not prostrate themselves before any earthly authority, however powerful. We Christians kneel only before God or before the Most Blessed Sacrament, because we know and believe that the one true God is present in it, the God who created the world and so loved it that he gave his only begotten Son. We prostrate ourselves before a God who first bent over man, like the Good Samaritan, to assist him and restore his life, and who knelt before us to wash our dirty feet. Adoring the body of Christ means believing that there, in that piece of bread, Christ is really there, and gives true sense to life, to the immense universe as to the smallest creature, to the whole of human history as to the most brief existence. Adoration is prayer that prolongs the celebration and Eucharistic communion, and in which the soul continues to be nourished. It is nourished with love, truth, peace. It is nourished with hope, because the one before whom we prostrate ourselves does not judge us, does not crush us, but liberates and transforms us. My brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this solemnity of Corpus Christi, let us truly give thanks to God for the great gift of the Eucharist, that we can be in the substantial presence of God at the Holy Mass. Let us ask that we would go forward in procession, carrying the Lord Jesus with us and caring for one another in our unity in the body of Christ. And let us ask that we would continue to worship God in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament until the end of time. Amen.